Amen. All right, are we ready for this? Well, we've been on a series, love story, kingdom focused marriages, having marriages that are focused on the kingdom of God instead of the world and our own selfish ambitions. And last week we looked at how a kingdom focused marriage is influenced by the new creation realities. You know, the Bible actually talks very little about marriage. Do you ever think that that's kind of odd? You know, an institution that God created, something that is so involved and infects our culture and humanity and in our life so much, that can be so beautiful or so devastating. There doesn't seem to be very many scriptures written on marriage. You want to know why? It's because when we are Christ-like, marriage takes care of itself. See, we like to compartmentalize life. And we don't realize that the gospel is supposed to influence every aspect of our life. Not just our religious behavior, but actually how we live life. How we communicate with our wives, how we communicate with our husbands, how we raise our children. All of it is supposed to be influenced by these new creation realities that we find in Christ Jesus, our new identity that we have in Christ Jesus. And last week we spent our time focusing on the husband's responsibilities. So if you weren't here last Sunday, get it. It was pretty good. And I was talking with my wife, and I told her how much easier it is for me to talk about the husband's responsibilities than to talk about the wife's responsibilities. Because I beat up on us men pretty good in the responsibilities that we have. But I'll have much more gentle tone today. But it's true that there are responsibilities. There are roles. There are things that God ordained in the marriage, and we both have responsibilities, we both have duties, and we both do them in Christ, in the new creation in Christ. So today we're going to look at the wife's responsibilities in a kingdom-focused marriage. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, this is a well-known scripture here, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Being like Christ, you are like Christ. You have been recreated. Your spirit has been totally recreated to be like Christ. Your mind might not have caught up to that yet. That's called the renewing of the mind. Your mind might have caught up to that yet, but in your spirit, who you are in the core of your being is exactly like Jesus. And being like Christ is the answer to every single issue you will ever face in your marriage. More than that, it's the answer to all of the turmoils, it's all of the struggles, all the conflicts that we have in life comes down to being like Christ. If you were like Christ, there would be no conflicts. Every marriage goes through moments of disagreements, anger, and failures. We talked about that last week. But our goal is in all of that is to resemble Christ and not winning the argument. I'm kind of recapping here. Most arguments are usually won by the individual who looks the least like Jesus. The one that wins the fight ends up looking the least like Jesus, who chooses to look the least like Christ. When our goal becomes winning the fight, it means that we're losing at marriage. That's good. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus? This is the most important attribute we discussed last week of Jesus Christ, all of his attributes, but the most important attribute in marriage, to have a God-centered, focused marriage, is humility. Humility. Last week we seen how it looks when a husband is clothed in humility. Today we are going to see what it looks like when the wife herself wraps herself in the humility of Christ Jesus. Again, let's look at Ephesians 5, the most popular verses on marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands and everything." Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or no such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Verse 28, "So husbands ought also to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also cherishes the church, because we are members of his body." Verse 31, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husbands." You know, many countless studies, hours of research, thousands and thousands of dollars have been spent on studying marriage. You realize that? And they all come back with the same conclusion. So the conclusion that the Bible has been declaring for almost 2,000 years. That a wife's number one desire is selfless, loving affection from her husband. That's the number one desire of a wife, just like we just read here, that her husband would sacrificially love her like Christ loves the church. And the husband's number one desire is honor and respect from his wife. So we spend thousands of dollars, much research and time, just to come back and repeat what the Bible has told us from the beginning. The problem with this is this goes against the flesh. This goes against the flesh to lay down yourself for each other, to love like Jesus, to love in your marriage like Jesus loves. We will need to renew our minds and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to have marriages that stand in stark contrast to the world's marriages, to what the world has to offer, to the world's alternative. Because your marriage proclaims the gospel. It's proclaiming, it's a mystery of Christ and the church. The humility of Christ is beautiful. It is truly beautiful. But it's despised. The beauty of Christ is beautiful. But it's also very rare. It's a rare commodity in our lives. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Do nothing in selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another more important than yourselves." See, we love ourselves so very much. It's a struggle to consider others more important than yourself. Have you ever spent a day deliberately focusing on every time you regarded yourself more important than others? Have you ever taken a day and thought to yourself, thought about how selfish you are, how self-focused you are? When you're in the checkout line, your time's more important than others. When you're in traffic, your time is more important than the others. When someone's being rude, when someone forgets to say excuse me or thank you, or just takes your service or takes you for granted. We are very self-centered individuals, And if we did keep track of how often the feelings of self flared up, we'd realize how hard it is to fight those feelings and how hard it is to choose to be wrapped and clothed in the humility of Christ. Really, humility in Christ comes down to when you humble yourself, what you're actually doing is allowing God to fight for you. You're allowing God to come in. And as we read over and over again, that he gives more grace to the humble. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is not a marriage verse, but this would fix your marriage. This is the gospel. This is new creation. This is what we are to look like. "Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." 1 Peter 5:5, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." This is radically different from the world's way of thinking. You are not going to find this one on the cover of a magazine in the checkout line. The world doesn't tell you how to fix your marriage. It doesn't say, you're not checking out and looking over at People magazine. What other magazines are there? Is Cosmo still a magazine? Whatever. And you don't see, you know, 5 ways to show humility toward your spouse. You don't see 7 humble actions to take when you're feeling self-centered. It's a complete opposite. We are saturated with a message about power, independence, and control. We are told to listen to our own hearts, to do whatever we feel like doing. You deserve it, after all. We don't need to listen to anyone telling us what to do. After all, we are strong and independent. We spend so much time filling our minds with worldly thinking, it's no wonder that we so easily stray from biblical truth. If we compared how much time we spend engaged in social media, movies, TV, reading articles and magazines and scrolling the internet to the amount of time we spend in God's Word, it'd be scary. And I don't say all this to make you feel guilty. I'm just pointing out that the way that you think, the way that you interpret who you are and your identity, the way that you interpret your role in marriage, the way you interpret your existence on earth has much to do with your thinking. And your thinking has to do with what you're eating, what you're setting your mind to. It's no wonder that Christian marriages look hardly any different from the world's. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world." In Colossians 2:8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." The things that we feed upon, the things that we set our eyes upon, the things that we consume takes us captive. It leads us away according to the tradition of men and not according to Christ. What does it look like to be like Christ? It looks like to be humble. It looks like putting others before yourself. The enemy is cunning. He lies to us about everything, especially about what we deserve. He wants us to think so highly of ourselves that a humble heart is something to be laughed at. Satan makes worldly wisdom sound deceitfully good. If the humility of Christ is our goal, we must keep our eyes on who? Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of humility. Right? We must constantly look at his example and walk in the power of the Spirit that enables Jesus to live through us. Messages that we've given on walking in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. That's just not for Sunday morning. That's for your life. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our marriages. Women, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be humble before your husband. And men, you heard it last week. You need the Holy Spirit in your marriages. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need Jesus to radiate through you, in your mind, your actions. How many times have people allowed pride to stop something beautiful that God was about to do? How many times in our life, because of our own pride, because of what we think we deserve, because of our own wanting to win and be right, have we stopped God from working in our lives? Have we stopped God from truly doing a work? Have we stopped the Holy Spirit from transforming somebody? Because of our own arrogance, because of our own pride. James 4:6 says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As we examined last week, God actively stands against us when we are prideful. You may think that you're standing your ground or digging your heels in against your spouse, but it is God you are opposing, and you are inviting his opposition in return. The reason why most people are miserable in their marriages is not because of the relationship with their spouse, it's because of their attitude towards their spouse and what that does to the relationship with God. You cannot stand in pride and have a good relationship with God. Not that God leaves you, but he resists the proud. Your pride brings a resistment in your relationship with God. God loves humility, and he graciously pours out his grace upon those who are humble. Ladies, you need to view your arguments with your spouse in this light. You've done it your way, trying to change him for how long? Why not humble yourself and allow God to radically pour his grace upon the situation? Why not trust God? Why not have faith in God? It doesn't matter what he said or what he did. The question is whether you want to experience God's opposition or you want to experience his grace. It is more important. Is it more important for you to be right than to do what's right? Does this sound familiar? But if I apologize or back down or show humility, I feel like he won. This is our thought process far too often, more than we'd like to admit. But the problem is you might win, but you're left feeling miserable. Why is it you can win a fight? And it feels good maybe for a little bit that you won, but then you felt empty and miserable inside. Why can you win and still feel miserable? You stood your ground. You won the fight, but left feeling miserable. This is not about giving into your husband. Submission is not about giving into your husband. Reverence is not about giving in to your husband. It's about giving in to God. It's about being right with God. And in our lives as Christians, we shouldn't want anything other than that, should we? Should we want anything else but to be right with God? If being right with God is not enough motivation to swallow your pride, maybe it's time that you look long and hard at your relationship with God. When being right isn't enough with God, that you would choose pride over being right with God, we have to look at our relationship with God. Because as we know, and as I've said over and over again, a dead spouse cannot resurrect a living marriage. Proverbs 29:23, a person's pride brings him down, but one of humble spirit has a firm hold on honor and respect. Isaiah 66:2, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Proverbs 16:18, pride precedes destruction. An arrogant spirit gives way to a nasty fall. Could that be most marriages that end with a nasty fall? Because pride precedes that destruction, and it gives way to that nasty fall. Proverbs 3:34, God treats the arrogant as they treat others, mocking the mockers, scorning the scornful, but he pours out his grace on the humble. Are we starting to see, that's Proverbs 3:34, are we starting to see a repetition here about grace and pride and humility? And it's over and over in Scripture. Psalms 138:6, even though the Lord is high above, he sees humble people close up. He recognizes arrogant people from a distance. Godly humility is beautiful. Women, the world tells you that it's not beautiful. But God thinks it's beautiful. Humility is beautiful. Jesus was the most humble person that ever walked the earth, and he was beautiful. We need to demonstrate Christ's humility in our marriages. We need to show our children what humility looks like. They need to learn to recognize the humility of Christ. They need to know that when they are acting in humility, they are following Christ, and that God has always said that humility is beautiful, and he sees humble people close up. Sadly, so many marriages crumble because humility is lacking. We strive for control. We strive for equality. We get caught up in the power struggle rather than humbly self-sacrificing for Christ. Most modern women focus on what submission does not mean, and they never embrace what it does mean. Most of the time, we spend time talking about what submission doesn't mean, rather than embracing what it truly does mean. We tiptoe around this subject, and we're afraid to declare what the Bible says. There are books, men and women groups, right? Churches have men groups, women groups. We have studies, special studies that are designed just for marriages. Even whole ministries that are devoted to being a godly wife or husband, right? Do you realize that if we truly were humble people, we wouldn't need any of these? I wouldn't have to preach a series on marriage. See, I think we're overthinking the wife's part and we're overthinking the husband's part. And we're underthinking being like Christ's part. Being who God, Christ has called us to be in the light of the new creation in the kingdom of God. Under every struggle and every discussion, every battle and every fight is a subtle realization that being like Christ is the solution to a whole lot of problems. There is no better way to stand apart from non-believers than in the way you respectfully submit to your husband. You display your trust in Christ and in God's word powerfully when you embrace his instructions to submit to your own husband as to the Lord. And one thing I will say here is that the Bible says that you're to submit to your own husband. Your own husband. It does not say that you are called to submit to men. It's to your own husband. This, without a question, is counterculture in America. But the truth is, if wives truly desire to follow Jesus, they will definitely not fit into the world's mold. Here are a few principles to think about when submitting to your husband. Number one, when a wife submits, she is respectfully submitting to a God-given position and not perfection. You're submitting to the position that God has ordained, not to the perfection of the person that you're submitting to. Again, like I said last week, honor is given, respect is earned. In other words, your husband's going to make mistakes. They've probably made a few. You're thinking of some right now. They will not always deserve. We won't always deserve in your eyes to be the leader. But God will always deserve your obedience to him in this way. And since the command to submit comes from God, your submission is truly and ultimately obedience to him. You're submitting to God. Number two, only submission to God should be absolute. You are not meant to submit to your husband if they're asking you to sin. Submission first comes to God. We are called to obey God foremost and not human beings. Number three, wives are designed to help their husbands and to accomplish so much more together. God decided that it was not good for man to be alone, so what did he do? He created a helping companion fit for Adam. Women, you guys are designed to come together with your husband and do exceedingly abundantly more together than you could do alone. And you need to embrace that God-given role. Give your husband the benefit of your insight, wisdom, and perspective, but also give him the freedom to move and lead in the direction God feels he's leading. I had a pastor friend that told me that when me and Marina first got married, that in our relationship, I was the gas and she was the brake. And you can be tempted to think one's more important than the other. But if you're always on the brake, you never go anywhere. You never accomplish nothing. You never get it done. But if you're always on the gas, you're going to crash. You need both to win the race. Number four, there is no safer place to be than in the will of God. How many people believe that? There is no safer place to be than in the will of God. So many people are afraid to find out what God wants them to do with their lives because they think they're going to end up in Africa or a third world country and being a missionary. And do you realize that if that is God's will for you, there's no place on earth that would be more safer for you? There would be no place on earth that there would be more joy and fullness of life if that's what God's will was for your life? And do you know that our roles in marriage, when a husband takes his place of sacrificially loving his spouse and a woman respectfully submits and honors her husband, do you know that there's no safer place on earth than in God's will for your marriage? Do you see how much this really comes down to trusting God, having faith in God, believing God's word, believing his way is the best way? The big reason why so many women are completely miserable is because they're not accepting their role. They're not accepting the will of God for their life, and that causes their spirit to grieve. God has carefully crafted every aspect of marriage, and we must learn to trust him. Number five, the biblical concept of submission does not put your husband in the place of God. If a woman finds herself subject to abuse, she shouldn't hesitate. She shouldn't hesitate to involve the authorities that can hold her husband accountable. It doesn't give your husband free rule over your life. Too often, there's too many stories of churches that have used these scriptures in a way that is perverted, twisted, and damaging. But at the same time, women, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage every wife that you can believe God to bring restoration and healing even in the most hopeless of circumstances. You can still, in those circumstances, bring the humility of Christ and allow God to pour his grace in the most broken marriages. Ultimately, like Jesus, we are entrusting ourselves to God. This is a pretty astounding that Jesus himself willingly submitted to the Father in order to accomplish the Father's purpose. When you are tempted to complain or wonder why women are given the role of submission, you should remind yourselves of what our Savior himself said. In John chapter 8, verse 28, so Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." In John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Submission is a beautiful thing when we realize that in submitting we are imitating Christ. Philippians 5:5-8, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." If anyone deserved to be treated a certain way, it was Jesus. Yet he humbled himself, and he gladly placed himself in the place of submission to the Father. It's amazing. With all that has been said in the last 2 weeks, I truly believe that the church needs to de-emphasize the roles of marriage. See, that's one of the biggest reasons why we struggle in marriage is because we spend times last week, this week, pointing out the roles in marriage. And then we point fingers at each other when the other one's not doing their role. See, we need to replace these roles. We need to de-emphasize these roles and reemphasize a higher calling of being like Christ. That's the answer. I've been saying this for the last 4 weeks. That the answer to your marriage is just be like Jesus. The answer to your marriage is to walk in the Spirit. The answer to your marriage is to put God foremost in your life. To submit to His will, to what He's called you to do, to trust in Him, to have faith in Him, to allow Him to bring His grace into the situation. Because we're all commanded to be humble. 1 Peter 5:5-6, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter's saying it too. James said it. Proverbs said it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in proper time. We are all commanded to submit to one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Jesus personified these characteristics. And the more we pursue Christ's likeness, the more we will naturally live out our God-given roles. Do you realize that? The more you pursue to be like Jesus, the more you pursue to be humble like Jesus, the more you pursue to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, in God's grace and His ability, the more that we pursue to be like Christ, you will naturally fulfill your roles as a husband and a wife. Pretty simple. It's just like right believing leads to right actions. Your right identity, seeing yourself in Christ, right trusting, right believing, seeing yourselves as humble, seeing yourselves Christ-like, that will lead to a right way of being a wife, a right way of being a husband, a right way of being a parent. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another more important than yourselves. Husbands, wives, church, how are we doing at this? Husbands, are you sacrificially, affectionately loving your wife? Wives, are you honoring and respecting your husbands? Church, would anyone who knows us well be quick to call us humble? Would anybody that knows us well, would they be quick to say that person is a humble individual? See, it's not so much about marriage. It's not so much about being a husband. It's not so much about being a wife. It's all about being like Christ. And I have to ask myself, am I a humble person? Do I think about others more highly than I think about myself? Am I selfish, or do I have empty conceit? Or am I humble of mind, regarding one another as more important than ourselves? Do I do this with my kids? Do I do this with my wife? Do I do it with my neighbors? Let's pray. Father, through this series, we've been looking at kingdom-focused marriages, and we want to be a reflection of Christ in the church. We want to be a reflection of what it looks like to be Jesus. We want a reflection of in our marriages that proclaim the gospel. We want a reflection in our church that of what it looks like to be like Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask for a supernatural renewing of our minds. Because what the Bible declares That we are in Christ Jesus. What the Bible declares, what it looks like to be empowered. What the Bible declares that looks like to have freedom. What the Bible declares, what is great. The world declares that it's the least. The world declares that it's weak. The world declares that it's foolish. Holy Spirit, we ask for the empowerment to have the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our life. That we would stop looking at the roles in marriage, the role of our husband, and where they're falling short. And that we would stop looking at the roles of our wives and see where they're falling short. And that we would look to Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That we look unto Christ and see that in Him there is no shortness. There is no falling short. There is only victory. That in Him we can do all things. In Him we are empowered to love like He loved. In Him we are empowered to be humble as He was humble. In Him we have wisdom and strength and ability. In Him we have the victory. So this morning we ask for a deeper revelation of our Christ-likeness, a deeper revelation of who we are in Christ, and the power and the bravery to walk it out, to be a peculiar people, to look different than the world, and to turn our marriages right side up for the kingdom of God. We love You, we praise You. And we worship You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charis.org.